Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Matthew chapter 14. But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." This is the text. In all three of our readings this morning, we hear of how God and the people of God deal with those who are outside of the kingdom of God. Matthew records that Jesus had compassion on the crowds. They had followed him out into the wilderness without really knowing who Jesus was. Oh, they were all excited about the miracle worker. But in the account of this event recorded in Mark's gospel, Jesus described the crowd as being like sheep without a shepherd. There are so many in our world today, perhaps within our own family, in our circle of friends, among our neighbors, co-workers, teammates. There are so many who fit into this category. Perhaps they seem to want to know about God. Maybe they even talk about God, as if perhaps they do have a little bit of knowledge of Him. But in reality, just wandering around in the wilderness, no real idea of what it is that he has already done. Jesus greeted his crowd with compassion. He tells his disciples, "You give them something to eat." The crowd in your life is to be greeted with compassion. And as we are disciples of our Lord, Jesus says to you, "You give them something to eat." The good news is that our Lord has provided us with something to offer. As we, more so than any generation in the history of the world, are blessed with access to the Word of God. This compassion that God's people are to have for those who are lost in the wilderness of this world. The mindset that we are to have is most clearly demonstrated in Paul's response to the unfaithfulness of the Jews, of the historic Israelites that he speaks of and references there in his letter to the Romans. Paul's compassion for them is such that he says that he wishes that he was the one who was cursed, cut off from Christ, destined for an eternity in hell, if that would mean that his Israelite kinsmen would receive the joy of Christ and the inheritance that was intended for them, but the inheritance that they have wandered away from. Portion of Paul's letter to the Romans. It's been our topic of discussion the last few weeks in our Sunday morning Bible class. It's been nice to have this corresponding epistle lesson and topic of discussion down there. We really are able to get into the meat of the text. And I'd like to say that it was with great and careful planning that it worked out that way, but we all know that that's not the truth. God is good and happens to just lay that out for me as an opportunity to teach. But what amazing insight into the love and compassion of St. Paul. That he would be willing to trade places. That is how much he cares for the souls of those who are outside of the kingdom. Most Christians hesitate to speak to someone else about Christ. They say, "Oh, don't talk about, what is it, religion and politics. You know, don't talk about that if you want to have a pleasant conversation." They don't want to talk about Christ because they're afraid the conversation might get uncomfortable. Well, when that double-edged sword of the Word of God begins to penetrate and carves away at people's preconceived notions about God or the world he created, it does get uncomfortable. Paul says he would endure an eternity in hell if his words would be heard and received by his fellow Israelites. That's a little bit more than an uncomfortable conversation. Moses made a similar statement in regard to the Israelites. He was willing to have his name blotted out from the book of life if that's what it took for the people of Israel who had been rescued out of their slavery in Egypt. If that's what it took for them to be a faithful people before the Lord, Moses says, cut me out of the inheritance. We look at Paul, we look at Moses, we look at ourselves. What am I willing to do? What am I prepared to say? What am I willing to give or give up? So that this good news can be heard by my friends, by my family. That it can be received in joy. And they would know the joy of Christ and the inheritance. That it's right out for them. Prepared by God for them, from which they have ignored and wandered away. The bad news is you can't take the Holy Spirit and just shove it down their throats, feathers and all, as Luther famously said. If you could, church would look a lot different. We'd grab people, line them up, and there would be force feeding of the gospel. But it doesn't work that way. Our Lord, when confronted by those who were like sheep without a shepherd, shows compassion. What way can you show compassion? Because real compassion always comes with a cost. The word itself, the Greek word means to expose your inner organs. We say you pour out your heart for someone. We speak the same way. But you cannot show actual compassion without being inconvenienced or made to be uncomfortable. The nature of the concept means that there is something that will cause us to expose our most delicate and sensitive parts of our being. Compassion is not simply a feeling, going, "Oh, that's too bad." That's not compassion. There is no compassion without being inconvenienced or made uncomfortable. So how do we approach those who are outside of the kingdom? It does require us to get outside of our comfort zone. And we see the work of the Lord being done throughout the world. We hear from the prophet Isaiah that the divine community of believers calls to nations that do not know the Lord, and among the nations there are some who will run to the Lord. And throughout the generations we have seen this take place, and now there are Christians throughout the world. And for that we are thankful. Yet there are far too many who are still wandering in the wilderness. And on all of those who are far away and those who are near to us, on all who are not blessed to know, as Paul says, the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the worship, and the promises of God, which are laid out before everyone, on all of these people, we are to show compassion. The divine community of believers follows the pattern set by the Good Shepherd, and we do not drive or push people to Christ. It doesn't work. That's not how a shepherd functions. But rather, We draw them, lead them as a shepherd leads the sheep. As Christ repeatedly called, come, follow me. Isaiah says, come. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. It is in God's word and in his sacraments that we have real healing, real nourishment, that which gives life like water. When Jesus fed the 5,000 men plus the women and children, Jesus had compassion on the crowd. And he meant to teach a lesson to his disciples. That crowd ate, and they were satisfied in regard to their physical hunger. But there is a reason that this is the one and only miracle that shows up in all four Gospels. Them having a fish sandwich was not that big of a deal. To a culture that fasts, many of them 2 days a week, it was not a big deal. But rather, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples. And that exact language is what you see in the upper room, as our Lord is preparing his people to share the fruits of compassion with the world. We partake of the fruits of Christ's compassion for us, as his compassion came with a cost, that he was that final lamb of sacrifice upon the altar of the cross. And we eat and we drink and we are satisfied. And being here rejoicing with the other forgiven children of God, it is truly a wonderful thing. The mercy, the grace, the compassion of our Lord that we have experienced and continue to experience, it should not only create joy and comfort and thankfulness in our relationship with our Lord, but also, as Paul says, the great sorrow and unceasing anguish for those who do not know the joy and the comfort that we know. The challenge for us is to figure out how to best express Christ's compassion to the world, a world that is simultaneously unsympathetic and falsely compassionate. I mean, our world simultaneously feels no remorse for sin, while it defends and protects all sorts of sinful activity at the same time, and calls very often the defense of that sin compassion. As much as we would like, you cannot push people out of their wilderness to Christ. They must be led. They must be shown what real compassion is. We don't make excuses for sin. We point to Christ who carried our sin for us. And with gentleness and forgiveness, we demonstrate what it is that we have already received, undeservedly so, that we joyously have received the righteousness of God. And we seek to demonstrate what it is that he has done for us through our words, through our actions, that others may see and be led to the gospel, the righteousness that God desires for all. The emptiness of a life without Christ can only be filled with Christ. If you try to fill it with something else, you will still have an empty life. Our Lord offers that which gives life in the waters of baptism, in the real food that he has brought to us, in his word of scripture that he says will never return empty. And his flesh, as he says, is real food. And his blood, as he says, is real drink. And he fills us. And we are satisfied. We receive the fruits of Christ's compassion. And we think back How did we get here? Someone in your life did not want you to wander aimlessly and starve in the proverbial wilderness of the slavery to sin. And someone in your life at some point followed through on Christ's command when he said, "You give them something to eat." Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.